Running a business shouldn't feel like surviving a software group project. One app for accounting, another for inventory, another for sales, and somehow none of them talk to each other. That's where Odoo comes in, an all-in-one business management software that brings every part of your business together, from sales and accounting to inventory and marketing, all in one powerful platform. No messy integrations, no bouncing between tabs, and best of all, no spreadsheets. Stop managing software and start managing your business with one unified system. Try for free today at odoo.com/iHeartRadio. That's odoo.com/iHeartRadio.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Bill Raggio, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, my colleague and co-host, and we're very pleased to welcome Joe Truesman of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, reporting on the Middle East to help us understand the headlines that are coming from the Middle East, especially from Israel, that describe a landscape that is at once war-torn and tragic. And then it does have 1 to 2 million refugees crowded in the southern part of a very restricted piece of real estate known as the Gaza Strip. Joe, a very good evening to you. I'll read you the headlines that we have from the Times of Israel. IDF says dozens of Gaza gunmen killed overnight, tanks seen on outskirts of Gaza City, or Jerusalem targeted with rockets after quiet period as the IDF expands Gaza ground op, or Gallant, the Minister of Defense, second stage of war may last months, pockets of resistance will remain. That is what we have from the headlines. Joe, what is your measure of the Israeli effort right now and how Hamas is resisting or not? Good evening to you.
Good evening, and first of all, thanks for having me on. So yeah, that's a lot to unpack from what those headlines that you said. So where do I start, right? So this is going to be a long war. Listen, the Israelis, the way they see it, they cannot live with Hamas on their borders. So either, you know, Gaza or the West Bank, for example. So yes, they're trying to eliminate Hamas, get rid of Hamas, especially in Gaza. The only way to do that is it will take rather it will take time to do that. And I'm not talking weeks. This is months, maybe years. It's very difficult to say. So, and on top of that, which is important to note, is that Hamas isn't just in Gaza, right? It's in Turkey, it's in Qatar, it's in the West Bank, it's in Lebanon. So it's hard to figure out, okay, well, is Israel destroying Hamas permanently across the world, or is this just, you know, something local just with Gaza? So it seems right now it's just with Gaza, but it's going to be a difficult task. It's going to take many months. And the other headlines that you said, for example, you know, Jerusalem being hit with rockets, that happened just a little while ago. Yes, this is Hamas or Islamic Jihad firing rockets from Gaza, aiming at civilians in Jerusalem. I believe one of them landed in the West Bank as well. So so they're targeting everybody, okay? Not just Jews. There's Christians, there's Muslims in the area. So this is noteworthy to point out. And lastly, over the last more than 3 weeks now, Israel has slowly been targeting foot soldiers of Hamas and other Palestinian armed groups, middlemen, some commanders, and top commanders as well. So they are eliminating these military officers or soldiers, especially those involved in the October 7th attack.
Bill, you have a question for Joe.
Yeah, Joe, I think you hit the fundamental problem that Hamas isn't just in Gaza, and Gaza is going to be a challenge for the Israelis in itself. But the wider Hamas presence throughout the Middle East, and I wanted to focus in on the West Bank. I saw that there's another raid into the West Bank, apparently to target Hamas, and there was clashes in Jenin. How strong is Hamas in the West Bank? Is it as strong as the Palestinian Authority? Is it growing? And then also a secondary question there. You mentioned the rockets being fired towards Jerusalem. Are they hitting Palestinians? How accurate are these rockets? Are they able to separate through different neighborhoods? Some that are often, you know, side by side with Jewish and Arab neighborhoods, Palestinian neighborhoods.
Right. Yeah. I'll answer the last question first. It's they're not guided rockets, right? They're not like precision guided munitions that the Israelis are concerned about with the Hezbollah, for example. Sure. So they launch it towards Jerusalem, either Hamas or Islamic Jihad from Gaza, and they can hit. They've hit the West Bank. They've hit near Arab villages. And this one today was just south of Bethlehem, near an Arab village. So it doesn't distinguish between Jew, Christian, Muslim. It doesn't matter. So that's a thing. So one can make the argument that Hamas or Islamic Jihad or other Palestinian armed groups are attacking Arabs. They're attacking Muslims as well with these rockets towards Jerusalem. And with the other question is the West Bank. So this is something we've been tracking at FDD's Long War Journal for more than 2 years now. The West Bank has become, there's been a spike in violence over about the last 2.5 years. This is led by terrorist groups, specifically Hamas and Islamic Jihad. There are other armed groups involved as well. So I think what's happening here, and what's been happening over the last 2.5 years in the West Bank, is that Iran, with its clients or its network of armed groups in the West Bank, again, Hamas, Islamic Jihad, and others, they see an opportunity to take or try to supplant the Palestinian Authority, because the Palestinian Authority is weak, all right? It's been weak for many years, and its leader, Mahmoud Abbas, is losing influence. He's getting up there in age, and a lot of the Palestinian populace, especially in the West Bank, see him as a corrupt leader. So they saw Iran and its network of armed groups saw an opportunity there to minimize the influence of the Palestinian Authority. So they started this uprising, right? And we've seen almost on a daily basis attacks against IDF troops, attacks against Israelis in the West Bank, Israeli communities, even attacks on the Palestinian Authority compound in Jenin. So this is all just a way for Iran and Hamas and other groups to take over the West Bank. One can also make the argument that the last 2.5 years was just a distraction for the IDF, right? Because the big problem was happening in Gaza, and we saw that on the October 7th attack.
Joe, the immigrants, the migrants, the residents, there are many words for them because they're now in great number in the south of Gaza, and the Rafah crossing is closed to them. The humanitarian corridor does not exist, to my understanding. The UN is calling for this. The UNRWA is calling for that. There are a lot of converging and also contradictory reports. What do we know about the status of the people who have exited from North Gaza and, as far as I can tell, have tents and are camped out somewhere between Khan Yunis, which is in the middle, and Rafik in the south? Are they getting supplies? Do they have sufficient supplies to operate? Is Hamas holding them back? Is Hamas influencing them? Is Hamas the enforcement mechanism in those refugees?
Right. Yeah, very good question. So, yes. So the IDF has been telling residents of the northern Gaza Strip for some time, for some days now, to go south, right? And because they're trying to put them out of danger, because the IDF is operating in the northern Gaza Strip. It's conducting airstrikes. It has ground forces. So they are moving south. However, Hamas is stymieing that movement south, okay? Because it's in their interest, right? It's in Hamas's interest for civilians to be in that area. And I know this is going to be bad to say, but it's Hamas uses civilians as a human shield, all right? That's the thing. They embed their military infrastructure within the civilian populace of Gaza. So they need civilians. They don't want the civilians out of Gaza. They want to keep them inside of Gaza. So it helps them, right? So That's the problem. And I think a lot of people don't understand that, that Hamas does this. And this isn't new for Hamas. They've been doing this for many, many years. There's been quite a few conflicts before this, and they've done the same thing where they hide behind civilians. This is the result. Now, I'll say, as far as there is a aid coming into the Gaza Strip, I understand that there's internet access in the Gaza Strip. It may not be the may not reach everybody in the Gaza Strip, of course, but there is. And I think the Israelis have a big problem here. And I'll just break it down just for a quick moment. So if they're the right thing to do, of course, is for civilians to, you know, to go out, to leave Gaza, right? But at the same time, the Israelis have a problem there, because members of Hamas can leave as well, may have the opportunity to exit Gaza. And so it presents a problem for them, right? So what do they do? Now, I'm not saying the civilians should not be able to let out or should not be able to leave Gaza. Of course not. But I'm just presenting the problem from the Israeli standpoint, right? That Hamas members can exit as, may be able to exit as well, including the big three or four that they're after. And that's Yahya Sinwar, Marwan Issa, Mohammed Deif, and actually a few others. So they don't want these Hamas leaders to escape with the civilians. So there's a lot of problems here. But there is aid coming through a little, but it is happening.
And does Hamas maintain authority by the power, the barrel of a gun, in the refugee settlements in the south? Is that Hamas in command?
Right. Very good question. So I'll say this. I'll put it like this. If you act out against Hamas, whether you're a civilian, whether you're a small armed group, Hamas will come and get you. Okay. They will assert their authority. So you got to basically, you can't step out of line. And there's examples of small armed groups that didn't agree with Hamas with what they were doing for whatever reason. And Hamas would arrest their leaders and throw them in jail. Even though these are armed groups that have the same, you say, ideology or also want to attack Israel, Hamas would arrest them because they're in a sense, they're stepping out of line. So, if Palestinians want to protest in Gaza, Hamas is, unless it helps Hamas, Hamas is not going to allow it. And you may see a little bit in the news, but it's rare. It doesn't happen a lot. And there's a reason, because Hamas is corrupt. They're not going to let people protest against them. And if people do protest, right, Hamas is going to arrest them, essentially. So that's the issue with Gaza.
Joe Truesman of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. Bill Rajo from the FTD's Long War Journal. Both gentlemen file routinely. And when we come back, what can we look to in these next days? What should we anticipate, given the level of combat right now in the North Gaza, given the doubts across Europe, across the world, about what is to be done with the protesters? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Migraine makes me miss out on the moments that matter. So I asked my doctor about saying yep to Vyepti, eptinezumab JJMR, an IV infusion given every 3 months that helps prevent migraine attacks in adults.
Don't take if allergic to Vyepti. Get help right away for allergic reactions like rash, swelling of face, lips, tongue, or throat, trouble breathing, hives, or facial redness. Tell your doctor about increased blood pressure or color changes, pain or numbness in fingers or toes. Common side effects are stuffy nose, scratchy throat, and allergic reactions.
Tap the ad to see how many migraine-free days you might reclaim and see the full prescribing information at Vyepti.com.
Say yep to Vyepti.
Hi, this is Danielle Robay, the host of Bookmarked by Reese's Book Club, a podcast by Hello Sunshine and iHeart Podcasts. I'm partnering with Simple Mills, and I've just found my new go-to reading snack, Simple Mills Almond Flour Crackers. Think of this as a quick book-style review because these crackers deserve it. The premise? A snack that feels light, not heavy. Made with almond flour, sunflower seeds, and flax seeds, nutrient-dense ingredients your body can use, not empty carbs. And the taste? Crunchy classic flavors that leave you feeling energized. For a good plot twist, try Pop'ems, cheesy, airy, poppable crackers packed with veggies. Final verdict, these are a shelf staple. Find Simple Mills at your grocery store.
It's Scotty B. from Elvis Duran and the Morning Show On Demand. And do me a favor, think back to your first dog. I bet you're smiling right now because Daisy or Muggsy or Bear or Miss Buttercup or whatever their name was a special dog that helped define your childhood. And they probably ate Pedigree. It's the food you fed the dogs you loved. Well, it was good then and it's better now. With over 40 years of trusted nutrition supporting 6 health essentials in every bowl, Pedigree dog food is still the go-to for good dogs. All these years later, Pedigree. Good then, better now.